Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Are indeed back in town. Happy New Year to all of you. It is 2013. My name is Jason. We are broadcasting live from the offices of eloquentonline.net, a website at presently in search of a completely new and reimagined space. We're working on the website all week, this week here at eloquentonline.net, and joining me, it's a long walk, but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon. He is the toughest, talkingest chief operating officer ever, from South Carolina Federal Credit Union, keeping life simplified. Hey, Troy, how are you?
Hey, happy New Year, Jason.
Happy New Year. I am so happy to ring in the New Year, talking about everything that was great in 2012, talking about what's coming up in 2013. My first question, how did you spend the New Year?
I took my lovely bride and we went away and we went to Myrtle Beach. And so we toasted the new year with champagne and kisses.
Nice, nice. I did about the same. I kept it very, very quiet. I was not out partying, just, you know, quiet at home, kisses and champagne. And
yep.
I think probably when a lot of people listen to this show, they think you and I have already hit the champagne, but... We are, in fact,
well, fortunately, they didn't say we hit the kisses, so that'll be good.
No, there's no kisses. Not... Hey, listen, it is 2013. We're going to talk about today some of the things that we loved about 2012, but more importantly, when you get started this year in 2013, how are you going to keep your audience wanting more? So, from 2012, Troy, you and I don't have a lot to be happy about in the football spectrum. Our Steelers did not do well.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But... the NFL is still a great way to evaluate the big brands in our country, AT&T, Apple, Progressive, all these big Fortune 500 brands. I will tell you, one of my favorite performances of the year did not come from any of those brands. And so before I say what my favorite was, did you have a commercial or a brand that you just thought, hey, they did a great job in 2012?
You know, my television has been fairly limited because of my schooling, so I have to almost really pass on that. And and it's because of Super Bowl. Now I might be able when the Super Bowl commercials come out, I might be able to have a little bit more, but I don't think I have anything comes to mind right now. But maybe you might spark me if I hear what yours was.
No, because you won't, because I had the same exact reaction. I found nothing exceptional in 2012 in Brandon. There was no major brand that stood out to me. I mean, Target did the same stuff. Walmart did the same stuff. I think the brand that I went to the most in person was probably local stuff, the local Starbucks, the local McDonald's, the local movie theater or whatever. But I had the same reaction that you did. There was nothing. Honestly, what I think is happening is these ads that you see on Hulu and regular television and satellite TV and cable or whatever, Comcast, whatever you have, I think they cost so much to make now that they can only afford to make a couple of them. And if you're watching TV, you get sick of them after the third or fourth time.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that. It's because sometimes I wonder if the whole ad process that we do is just because the machine is so large that no one has decided to try to unravel it.
Yeah, I mean, believe me, we've talked about, you and I have had conversations offline about how we don't want this to become an Apple versus Windows show. Because it seemed like at one point Apple was doing everything right and Windows was doing everything wrong. But, I mean, I honestly don't need to see another ad from either one of them. I've picked my brand. I'm happy with the things I have. Nothing either brand is going to say is going to make me invest more or less of my money. And I'm wondering, you know, since we talk to primarily a banking marketplace, does the banking marketplace, the financial services marketplace, need to completely rethink how they're engaging their audience?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's really where it comes down to the power of performance. And if your brand was a band, would you be wanting more? So
would you want? Yeah. And that's exactly where I'm coming down on it. I could not wait to come on the show. Last year, 2012, probably one of the weirdest years I've ever had as a professional. On two occasions last year, I tried to make a living in that 9-to-5, you know, punch the time clock kind of employee. And in both cases, it was just very, very different. Not the thing for me necessarily. But in doing so, I think I realized that if you're not willing to look at all the things you've ever done and say, maybe we don't need to do any of those things again, you can't move forward, because reimagining what you do is something that's easy to say. But Troy, man, I don't see a lot of businesses that do it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Well, today we're going to talk about things that we loved or didn't really care about in 2012, things that are going on in the new year. I want to talk about this year, the power performance. We talk about the radio show being a metaphor for the business that you're doing every day. If you're a bank, if you're a credit union, if you're a restaurant, if you're a haircutting place, you have people coming into your business 9-to-5 expecting a service or a product, and they evaluate you not just on the tangible, how much did it cost to get a haircut or how much did it cost to get a gallon of milk, but what the experience was like. And I think going forward, if that experience is exceptional, then people are going to keep coming back. But when I look out at the marketplace that is Twitter and Facebook and blogs and stuff like that, I'm not sure there's a lot of really radical thinking out there. So you'll get it right here on the radio show, and Jason and Troy will talk about it right after this.
You're listening to the Power of Performance. If your brand were a band, would you leave your audience wanting more?
You are live here, eloquentonline.net, from the beautiful rainy city of New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and joined by me, as always, Tough Talk and Troy Hall from the holy city of Charleston, South Carolina. Troy, when I sent you the email for the pre-show, I said I want to talk about training. You and I are both trainers at heart. When we talk about a great live performance, we always talk about how it begins with great auditions and rehearsals.
Yes.
You're a credit union employee going to training this year at your credit union in 2013. What are some things we need to do less of, and what are some things we need to do more of?
Well, in that vein, it's important for the leadership to understand that there are informal ways to train and formal ways. And so the reality is that they need to take a look at what they've been doing and then augment their plan so that they have a nice balance between them. An informal way of training comes from the live everyday coaching of examples and the mentoring that occurs from the leadership within your environment and the direction that you provide, the tweaking that you provide to the junior associates who are actually working. And in many cases, what happens even through the mentoring program, and we talk about maybe a more senior level to junior level, is that there are times when the junior level can teach the senior level a lot of stuff. And it comes to that informal dialogue of taking a look at situations and really being discovering what was happening and being able to spend some time with that. And what occurs is that in many cases, businesses get so wrapped up in all their operational details that they forget that their primary way in which they will operate is from a sales perspective. And so they end up killing their sales because they overcompensate from an operational. So their formal kind of training that they want is where they actually are teaching more tried and true techniques, and they really need to focus a lot on sales and relationship building.
Yes.
I use this example. I ask them in my sessions, I say, well, have you heard of Kodak? And some people still, you know, because I have a mixed generational group, you know, they still will hear them. You know, the Gen Z group will have no idea who Kodak is. They'll think it's a Kodak. They'll think it's a bear that lives someplace up north. But, you know, but really I ask them about Kodak. I go, what's Kodak's business? And people go, film, camera. And I go, Kodak was the keeper of memories. And they forgot that.
Right.
What they did is they started focusing on film and camera. And so, therefore, they're out of business. So if you want to be out of business today, you start focusing on the delivery of what you provide to the consumer instead of building a relationship. And most every company, and we claim this for ourselves, is we're a relationship business. Because what we're doing is relating to people each and every day. We're creating the connectivity that connects them to us. And that process, that formality in the training has to be with how you further the connectivity, how you engage the connectivity, what techniques that you use within the connectivity that help you build relationship actions and actionable items. So that's what I would say for me would be the way to kind of spell it out is what to do more and what to do less of. Look at how much informal training you're doing, and if you're not doing enough, free up some of the operational details so that your team can actually get out there and work with people when it happens live. There's no better way to teach somebody than when it happens live, and you can tweak it as it goes. Because here's what I will tell you. Imagine that what you were doing was listening to a tape recording. Well, as soon as you listen to the tape recording and you hear, that's not okay, we want to fix that, who's playing it again? There's nobody to play it again. It's on a tape recorder. But if the person has the instrument in their hand, then you have an opportunity to ask them to redo that or to participate or tell me how that note sounds again.
Right.
And you get, and that's what happens in that live informal environment. And so that's why I really think that probably companies should take a look at their informal training and mentoring and really wrap that up together.
Well, I agree. I mean, when I look at the world that is banking or business, whatever it is in 2013, I think about what you said, how we've always looked at things a certain way, that there was a certain kind of agenda-driven aspect to training. You have the icebreaker, you have the agenda bullet points, you have the session, you have the feedback and all this kind of stuff. And what I'm finding is that the best way to train is to look at the experience you had today. How many people came into your branch? What kind of things did they ask you to do? Was it all loans? Was it all new accounts? And if it was new accounts, did you put on the kind of live performance that said, hey, wow, the first time I heard the song, I loved it? Or was it very, if you want to do this, you got to fill out this form, you got to sit down here? I mean, I'm like you. I wish I had all the answers to this stuff. But when I look out at the world that is in your world, the credit union marketplace, the banking marketplace, I don't want to be disappointed in 2013 by looking and seeing the same stuff. I was reading, you know, you and I both write, I think, a monthly article for CU Insight. Do you still write one?
Yeah, I still do, yes. Thank
yeah,
you.
So every month we do a blog. So I always go and check what's out there. And there's a gentleman by the name of Paul Gentile. He used to be the president of the New Jersey Credit Union League. And
exactly.
he put a very a really long, wordy article together about, hey, credit unions, I've moved to CUNA, we're going to do all this cool stuff. And his big announcement was a website. Well, I've been interviewing what Chris Ortiz referred to as Generation Z, that generation that never, ever owned a VHS cassette player, didn't have a cassette player for their audio, they didn't know what a floppy disk drive was, have never heard of Gilligan's Island. They're all iPad and touchpad and icon. They're never going to go to some URL website. When I talk to the young people about what they do online, it's all strategy games and music and FaceTime and one-to-one contact. It's not about commerce. The community of their social networks is worth far more to them than learning about what makes a credit union different from a bank. So it's like CUNA's missed out not on just the delivery channel, but the message too. And how many years do we let CUNA continue to make the same mistakes without saying something about it?
Well, I think that's interesting that you say that, because we were actually, in the sessions that I've been doing now for about 18 months, I keep going back to the Peyton story that you first introduced, and
his business
was all about the apps that he created.
Right.
And in that environment, the thing that I thought was so interesting and so exciting about, you know, what he did was he began to open up for me the concept that this generation, after doing a little research, realized that the Gen Z group is not going to go to www.howcanifindyou.com. They're going to say, do you have an app? And they're going to ask, is that app going to allow me to engage with you immediately? And if for some reason, and if you don't stay engaged with that person and create that connectivity and have that long-lasting connectivity with them, then it's not going to make any difference at all. And the other thing that we're also finding about this upcoming generation is the gaming aspect so important that if you can wrap games, if you can wrap reward tokens and things around what you do, and it doesn't have to relate to tangible products. I mean, see, this is the mistake that people will make. They'll think, oh, wow, gee, if you do this and this, you'll win points, and then you can cash those points in a catalog and buy something. Are you kidding me? That's my generation. That's my mom and dad's generation.
Right, exactly.
This other group is saying, like, I win 500 points, and I get to be Death Star Killer extraordinaire. And they get to post that on their personal site, and people who see it go, oh my gosh, you're the Death Star Killer extraordinaire. Wow, that's really cool. How'd you get that? I want to get that too. And it didn't cost you a thing because it's the reward and recognition, and that's how that group is driven, and it's that personal reward of achievement. I achieved this. You didn't. I now am king of the hill. You're not.
Well, one of the things that I looked at was how people are changing their I think I read it in that article, whole about delivery channels. I hate using that kind of business-driven entomology, you know, metrics and business and delivery channels and stuff like that. But it made sense where there's still a lot of people going into the branches, were they all going out online or whatever. And what I found in interviewing people, all of whom have access to the internet through handhelds and cell phones and iPads and whatever, that – everything they were doing was driven by their age and their behavior, and none of it was driven by the difference between banks and credit unions and who has the best loan rates. It seemed to me like they were going to get those cues from the same places we have always gotten them, our moms and our dads.
Yeah. And realistically, the consumer today is less concerned about brand loyalty as they are about, do you connect with me?
Right.
Do you allow me to connect with you easier? And so realistically, if you started to looking at brand differentiation, that brand differentiation has to be connectivity. One of the things that we started embarking on was touting the amount of technology that we have. You know, sometimes in industries, depending upon your size, folks can take a look at one company and say, well, you know, you're maybe not as sophisticated as another because they believe that from a historical standpoint, your industry hasn't been that good at producing new technology for the consumer. But what we want to be able to do as a viable provider in the marketplace is we want to say that we do have the technology because we understand connectivity, and we understand that connectivity is the doorway that will produce the sales because it's going to produce the individuals because we provide them a way to connect with us and to stay connected, then it makes all the difference in the world.
Well, my thought about all of this, when I sent out all the emails and invites, I said, I'm going to explain that picture that you see. Did you see the show, Squirrel? We have your picture on the motorcycle.
On the motorcycle.
On the motorcycle, yes, which people used to get when they were a guest on the show. Now everybody gets it for free. And I said, I'm going to put up something that would relate to the show. And since we're talking about these four things this year, practice, perform, review, and repeat. We practice what we're going to say. You and I, it's not 5 hours or 6 hours or 2 days. You and I get on the phone for 8 or 9 minutes before the show and talk about how we want the flow of the show to go. And that's plenty for us because we've been doing this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Then we do the show. If you have something going on right after the show, hey, I can't call you right away, but we always call and talk about the show that was. And then we do it again the following week. Well, I think that's a great chronology for what happens at most businesses. You open up, you serve breakfast, you sell loans and checking account products, you close, you say, how do we do today, and you start again tomorrow. Well, when I was, this goes back to 1988, 25 years ago, this month, I think was the first time we scheduled and celebrated the Martin Luther King holiday. And I was in the Army, I was at Fort Ord, and nobody got the day off. And we were basically processing in all the new infantry guys into our unit. I'd been out at Fort Benning, Georgia, in the latter part of 1986, learning how to train this new breed of American soldier, the really high-tech stuff, the navigation, the shooting, the marksmanship, all this really cool stuff that happened down at the Ranger School at Fort Benning. And when they came in and we met them that day, I felt like I had had the best training possible, and I was confident explaining the mission to them. If you're looking out at the credit union marketplace today and thinking we're interviewing and we're hiring this new generation into our brand, do you think the training that they get when they first come to the brand makes them want to stay or makes them question their decision to join the brand?
Well, it actually, it's all part of a cultural acceptance that the individual person goes through. And they have a pre-arrival set of feelings that they actually occur with. And so they have a thought or a feeling about what it is. And then they have an encounter phase where they actually come in contact with the brand. It's at that particular point in time that the metamorphosis occurs. And they will either align themselves with the cultural values or the brand values or whatever it is that creates whatever their value system is. If their value system is built on, you know, ease of convenience and built on being connected and being fun and exciting, and if that occurs, then the metamorphosis is they fall into the culture, therefore then they adopt the product that you have, and life goes on. If not, they bounce away and they go somewhere else until they get it.
I love it. Listen, when we come back from our final break, I was talking to Scott and Nike, the musicians that I travel with, about how do we want to celebrate 5 years of doing what we've done, going out and doing all these live musical performances at conferences all over the country. And in doing so, I was reminded that the first time I thought about adding a live musician to my spoken session was right after I did your event back in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come back from the break, I want to ask you, is there anything that you can think about when you and I were both back in 2006 that is still relevant today in how we engage our audience, how we keep our audience wanting more? Because all of 2013, Troy and I are going to talk about how the audience is listening. They are calling you, they are emailing you, they are clicking to go to your website, and what you say and what you do has a profound impact on people who can share that experience on their iPhone 5 with all 300 of their Facebook friends, and that is a reality that didn't exist back in 2006, and we will wrap it up right after this. Troy, it seems like a long time ago now, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Seven years ago. It was President's Day, 2006. Right? It was President's
yes.
Day.
It was, yes, President's Day. Mm-hmm.
President's Day. It was your big life.
It was a focus on the future event wherein we brought employees together to, you know, paint the direction of what we were doing. And this was really prior to us tapping into more of electronic delivery. We never really put together a formal business plan the way we do today and make that plan available in hard writing. We actually just pretty much talked it. Everything was kind of like talking. And
right.
So that was – and actually the event that we had was the last time that we did it, but it was not because of you. It was
simply because
of economy and the fact that we changed the delivery of it.
Yeah, and it was because I think what you were announcing – I mean, I remember when I saw the Life Simplified brand, it's like we had these two colors, blue and white.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to make any major modification to this brand for many years.
Oh, no. And again, what we chose was something that would be timeless. So
right.
when we introduced the brand, it had to be, familiar, and it had to have a timelessness to it, because we don't, going in and changing your brand on a regular basis can be expensive.
Well, not just expensive, but confusing to the people. That,
confusing. Yeah.
Well, the way I wanted to wrap the show today was that I think in 2013, it's a great time for any business to reimagine the way their audience sees them. And if they do a rebranding, if they change their name, there are all kinds of mergers and acquisitions going on in the banking marketplace. You can't call, your top five LinkedIn contacts without hearing, oh, well, we can't talk right now. We're going through a merger or an acquisition. And I think as we kind of get going in 2013, one of the things that never, ever goes out of style is how do you prepare your people for the live performance they put on every day, whether they're going through a core conversion or a merger or just an everyday of cashing checks and taking loan applications. And I think one of my big missions – I don't do resolutions, but one of my big missions this year is to talk to people how to reimagine training, because it touches – the employee, which impacts the audience and the member and the client and the customer, and I'm looking forward to talking about it with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we need to do is we have to remember that what we provide to that employee to carry out has to be simplistic, and it has to be really information that comes from the top. There's a survey that we share when we talk with all new employees, and we tell them that the number one factor – for having a brand be accepted is honesty.
Honesty.
It's the number one characteristic that people expect from any brand that they deal with is honesty. They want the truth. So when you come out and you hype and say new and improved and can do blah, 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 then you daggone well better be able to
do
it. If not, you better not. Don't be telling me new and improved and la, 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 because people look at you going, new and improved? Or you got to be kidding me. You just changed the box. So realistically, it's what you do. Be honest about it, and that actually wins you a ton more points than by you trying to be extravagant.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I wanted to come on when I first set up the show for our first show for 2013. I said I want to come on and talk about my favorite brand. So I went back and looked at all the brands that I interact with pretty much every day. I was like, okay, AT&T. They're my cell phone provider, but I still feel like I pay them too much. Then there's Netflix, which over the Christmas break had a glaring glitch on their website where you could not scroll through different seasons of your favorite shows. It completely made me think that Netflix has no clue what they're doing. Then there was Southwest Airlines, one of my all-time favorite brands for more than a decade. It's like, wait a minute, your airfares aren't really all that competitive anymore. You're expensive just like all the other guys. And then my final brand, Hulu Plus, it's like, wait a minute, I'm spending $7 a month and I still have to watch commercials?
Mm-hmm.
And stop sending me all of these touchy-feely send money to third world country kind of ads. Well, listen, thank gosh we have 12 months to figure it all out. I'm looking forward to talking about it. I could not wait to get on the air and do this. Folks, we'll probably be doing primarily noon shows on Wednesday. I have jury duty tomorrow, which I could not avoid as a operator of a motor vehicle here in the great state of Texas, Bear County of Guadalupe, Republic thereof. Troy, I hope you have a great week out in Charleston.
You too, and I appreciate you upholding your civic duty and doing things like serving on jury duty and voting and not taking for granted the simple things that that we need to do. Thank you so much. It was a blast in 2012. I am looking forward to the excitement of 2013 and just having an opportunity to continue to share the knowledge that I've been working on through my PhD program and also with the things that we uncover here in our organization, and just our willingness to be able to share that, to work with the great folks at Optimal Talent being able to really just, you know, help companies maximize each and every of their opportunities. So I look forward to it. So thank you so much for the opportunity, Jason.
I'm looking forward to it. OptimalTalent.org, Chris Ortiz, they've got a great crew over there talking to people about retention and recruitment and hiring people and how do you find the right folks to put on a great live performance. I'm looking forward to a great year. Jason and Troy are definitely back, and we're going to be broadcasting live The Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? We'll talk to you soon. We're out of here.